you can begin to think about how important freedom is and why the Lord guards it so preciously when you think about how he allows evil to happen. The Lord allows evil to happen. The Lord allows us to do things to one another that we regret. The Lord allows us to do things to others because we're only thinking about ourselves. And the Lord allows evil spirits to come into us and force us to do things that we are ashamed of or wish we had never done. It's amazing, really, to think about it. And it's so easy to, in our minds, say, well, why doesn't the Lord figure out how to make us all be good to one another? And we might think that the Lord should have stopped bad things from happening. He has all power. In the writings of the new church, we read, if we could be reformed by force, there would not be a single soul in the universe who could not be saved. If we could be reformed by force. Nothing would be easier for the Lord than to make us fear, worship, and even love him in some manner. The means are countless. The means are countless that the Lord could use to force us to be afraid of him, to worship him, and to follow him and even love him in some way. But since what is done under compulsion is not wedded to us, that is to say, it doesn't really attach itself to us, we don't own it, therefore it does not become a part of us. It is absolutely alien to the Lord to force anything on anyone. Sometimes I think about raising my children, which I haven't done now for a long time, or just being in relationship with my wife, how I drift into thinking that somehow I could force somebody else to do something or think in a certain way or act differently, and they would be happy for it. There are so many things in my daily life where I could look at my wife and say, you know, you would be doing a better job, or you would be happier, or this would be easier for you if you did it the way I do it. But do you think she responds well to that? No. And I think when we look at that in ourselves, and you see how resistant we are to any kind of compulsion, we begin to get deeper insights into the importance of this idea that the Lord values our freedom and never forces anything upon us. Because it wouldn't stay with us. You know, the minute we get a chance to turn away and do what we want, we forget all about the things we were forced to think or do before. The Lord, just think about this, the Lord allows evil because unless we are free to choose evil or goodness, we won't ever love goodness or truthfulness. It'll never be who we are. But when we are able to have that freedom to look at these alternatives and compel ourselves to go in the direction of goodness and truthfulness, then those things become our own. Freedom is all about loving or desire. That is to say, When we are doing what we love, we feel free. When we are doing what we desire, or we're pursuing things that we desire, then we feel free. We feel delight. We feel autonomy. And this is what allows us to feel joy in useful service. You know, when you do something for someone else because you feel compassion toward them, or because you feel like they deserve some help, or you feel like, you know, working together as a team is something that's fun to do. When you're doing something in freedom for somebody else, you're also in partnership with the Lord, because the Lord loves that other person. The Lord loves that community that you're serving. The Lord loves the world that you are working to make better. And when we're doing what we love for others, then the Lord is there in us and with us and is joined to us by that shared love. And it wouldn't be a shared love if he forced it on us. You know, if he made us do things for one another, we wouldn't be actively involved in it. We would be externally involved. We would be pushed into it. And the minute we felt like we could do something different, we would. So when we love ourselves more than anything else, that feels free, because freedom belongs to love. Or when we love some pleasure more than we love something good, then that feels like freedom. But it isn't freedom. In Secrets of Heaven 28:84, we're taught, the freedom connected with love for ourselves and for the material world and with the cravings that come of these loves is anything but freedom. Anything but freedom. It is utter slavery. So let's look at the teaching in the Bible in your card from John 15. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed on him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. The slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." And when in the deeper meaning, the Lord talks about the Son making us free, it's talking about the truth that Jesus brought into the world from his divine being, his soul, which is goodness. And he brought that into the world to teach us how to be free, how to find joy, and how to connect with him. And, you know, it's so ironic what the people said to the Lord in this story. Every time I read it, I'm just amazed that they could stand there and say, "We're Abraham's descendants and we were never in bondage to anyone." I mean, the whole history of that nation is a history of bondage. You know, Abraham had to go and free his family when they were taken captivity. Right very early in the book of Genesis, one of the first stories that is actual history in the Bible. Abraham ran and rescued, you know, took his men and they went and fought and they brought back Lot and his family from captivity. And of course, there's 400 years in slavery in Egypt. What are they saying? We were never in bondage to anyone. And then you just keep reading in the Bible, and what do the children of Israel do over and over again? They forget. They turn away from the Lord. They worship other gods. They follow evil practices, and they become slaves. Some other enemy comes in and captures them and drags them off into bondage or takes control of the land or takes their government away from them, and there they are, slaves. And you can just see again and again, the picture here in the Bible is that when we stop following the Lord, we enter into slavery. We become slaves to whatever it is that we think is going to make us happy. Even as they spoke, these people were not free. They had been taken captive, although they weren't carried away, by the Romans. It was a Roman government that they were living under. They didn't have freedom of choice. They didn't have freedom of movement. They didn't have freedom to vote. They had to do and pay taxes to the Romans, whatever the Romans told them. Slaves to sin. That's all these repetitive stories are, stories about how we are slaves to sin and we say, we were never in bondage to anyone. I was just doing what I want. You know, I'm getting my own way. I'm controlling the people around me so that I'm happy. And we think that's freedom, but it's slavery. It's slavery. Understanding freedom. Freedom is a really tricky thing because the Lord gives us this feeling that life is our own. You know, from the moment we're little children, we're developing this sense of self, selfhood, self-identity. Life is my own. And this feeling is an appearance. It's not really true that life is our own. The Lord's giving it to us at every moment. And the Lord gives us the appearance that the good things we love come out of ourselves. Or that the true things that we think come from our own rationality. The Lord gives us this appearance, and he gives it to us so that we will own the goodness. We will feel it is ours, and we will want it to be in our hearts and in our minds. I remember having a discussion in college, and the person I was having this discussion with was convinced that at some point or another, we are made to choose, right? So what makes you choose? You know, you choose. Why did you choose? Well, something made you choose was what this person was saying. And if we actually choose anything, it's goodness. It's goodness because when the hells come into us and they offer us these pseudo pleasures or pseudo happiness that comes from getting our own way or being in control or controlling other people, the hells offer us this, but their goal is to enslave us and control us. And the Lord is there all the time in the background from when we were littlest children, infants, babes in arms, implanting delight in goodness. And so you could say, well, what makes me choose? Well, it's the goodness in the Lord that enables me to choose goodness. It's the goodness from the Lord in me that enables me to choose goodness. And it's the goodness in me from the Lord that enables me to see the truth in such a way that I can compel myself to do it. Sometimes when we compel ourselves, it feels like we're not free. You know, after all, if I'm compelling myself not to cheat on my taxes, if I'm compelling myself to be honest and report accurately all my income, then I might feel like I'm working against my own self-interest. Self-compulsion is like that. But the truth is that when we compel ourselves, there's a battle going on, and it's a battle between the loves that are trying to enslave us, the loves that come from selfishness and worldliness, materialism, that come out of the hells and try and promise us everything. There's a battle going on between those loves and the love of goodness that the Lord has been planting in us our whole lives. And it feels like we're going against our own self-interest, but we're learning the delight of goodness, and we're learning that it feels good. None of this counterfeit pleasure that evil offers us. It feels good when we stop thinking about ourselves and start being of service to others. It's the goodness from the Lord that is battling in us. So when we compel ourselves, it might at first seem like we're going against our own freedom, but in fact, that's when we are the most free. So let's read our final reading. It's Seekers of Heaven, 1947. Subsection 2. When we are regenerating, we take the Lord's gift of liberty and use it to compel ourselves. I love that, the way that's phrased. We take the Lord's gift of liberty and we use it to compel ourselves. We humble and even afflict our rational mind so that it will submit. And I think that's all about making ourselves believe that we've been telling ourselves foolish things. Believing that that new car or that new house or that new relationship is going to be the source of our happiness. We make our rational mind submit. This gives us a heavenly sense of independence, and the Lord then gradually makes that sensation more and more complete. It grows freer and freer until it turns into a love for what is good and for the truth that comes from goodness. Pleasure is ours. And in the love and pleasure, we find a happiness like that of the angels. This is the freedom the Lord spoke of in John when he said, "The truth makes you free. If the Son makes you free, you are truly free." Amen. Let the people say, Amen.